B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ding, frozen, done.
My God, Zoe. The number of tweets that I'm getting alone is enough to overwhelm me with the flashlight talk. I'm getting suggestions from everywhere here. But once again, dogs barking at something in the backyard. I kind of want to pinpoint. I don't want to just flood the area.
Deer light.
And my mag light, I've loved it for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
But I know I'm doing myself a disservice. It's like not getting a new driver. Hey, I hit this, you know, original TaylorMade Burner Plus pretty well. No, you got to get yourself the Callaway Epic. You know, you're leaving yards out there. I'm leaving lumens on the table by not upgrading my flashlight game. And now I don't know what to do. Too many suggestions.
You know how strange Jim's wife's side of the family is, right? Well, the weird holiday stuff they do, the father-in-law plugs everything in.
Yes.
So Jim's wife actually bought Jim one of those deer lights, those handheld deer lights,
yes,
for when the power goes out in the house. The light's a plug-in. Of course, it has a cord on it, right?
Let's go.
Warwick.
Let's go to the phones here.
Yeah. Polish Warwick.
We'll start with Jeff in Attleboro. Jeff, help me out. Flashlight. I need a new one. What am I getting?
All right. You got to go for Olight. Like, I got a couple of them.
Olight?
Is that your O face?
Exactly. O-L-I-G-H-T. I sent you a link on Instagram on it. The either the Baton Pro or the S1R, ridiculous. Baton they're Pro. Handheld. They'll run you about like $50 to $60.
Jesus.
But I mean, yeah, but they'll throw a 2,000 lumen beam like 500 feet. Like, you can...
This guy's a flashlight expert.
This guy knows what he's talking about. This is the type of...
This is what we do on a show. We help people. We help you.
This is what I need. Olight, okay. Baton Pro.
So, all right.
I'll check the DM on Instagram, too, Jeff. This is a rare case, though, where if someone told me and said... Cobb said, Hardy, I got the perfect flashlight for you, and they're $20 at Walmart. I'm hanging up on you. This is a rare case where I want to spend more because I'm convinced it's going to get me a so much better
flashlight. Yeah, you're becoming an old man now.
I want to spend a minimum of $50 on this flashlight.
This is where old people get weird. Like, you get what you pay for, people. Like, young people don't do this. You hurry up, go out and buy the cheapest one. Old people sit there and think about these weird things.
Now, I'll never get rid of my Maglite, right? But Mike... In Virginia Beach says...
You could beat the... Say that deer attacked you. Like, you could beat the living hell out of
it. Oh, yeah. That thing is a weapon.
Shattered skull.
So I'm not getting rid of it, but Mike says I don't need to upgrade to a new Maglite. Is that right, Mike?
No, I'm saying go with like a million candle power. You can spend like $129 with Larson Electronics. They have a 5 million candle power. That thing is like... I've had one before when I was in the Berkshires, and we had a bear that would just kind of hang out. And you could literally take that thing outside and wave it around, and it looked like the kind of thing where they set up the, you know, the when they have an event and the big spotlight just moves around. The thing was crazy. But I would also suggest an air horn. Get an air horn. So if it does, in fact, turn out to be a big fuzzy bear, they don't like loud noises unless you're planning on shooting something.
Okay, I got cops now sending me. Thanks, love you,
Mike.
State police, love you, local police.
The stinger, I keep seeing the stinger. People are sending
Rentham police. This is here, the Stinger DS LED flashlight.
Yeah,
this is what the actual locals get issued to them to carry in the cruisers.
I like that
stinger. What's that thing go for? 47. That's a badass.
That's nice.
You should buy one.
Oh, look at the lumens.
You should buy one of those fake cop jackets too. Just drive around, pull people over.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that.
That's bad.
Okay, I've heard Olight, I've heard Stinger, Mark and Braintree. Do you have something other than Olight or Stinger that I should be looking
at? Tom Worcester's got to get in on it.
Yes, I found this one like a year ago. I got it for a gift for somebody. It's called Bolene. It's telescopic. It's small. It's heavy. So it's and I think it might be $30. It might even be cheaper now. But this is so bright. It lights up my whole backyard, and then it you can collapse it down, and it's like this little square beam that goes out, and it is sharp. It is durable. I've dropped it a bunch of times. It's like, think solid. I'd get you one if I could. I don't know how to send it to you, but it's not a ton of money.
And okay.
My Rentham guys are going to swipe me one at work.
Great. And Mark, I appreciate it. The not a ton of money thing is not a selling point for me. I'm convinced on this flashlight, the more I spend, the happier
Steve,
I'm going to be.
Steve, yeah.
You know?
Woo.
That's just... Is he? Wait, he's getting one for you?
Take care of me again. Going by work today, you're going to grab me one.
I'm the one who needs the flashlight.
I didn't know I needed one until I talked to you.
Oh, man.
I don't have this stuff.
Hold on.
Tom in Worcester now is in on it. He's a cop.
Yes. What does Tom say?
$130 LED bulb that can be trained?
Yeah, you
what?
Could, yeah, yeah.
To Hardy, yeah.
What kind?
It's the Streamlight Stinger.
Streamlight Stinger.
Wow.
Okay. People love that stinger. All right, I think we're getting somewhere.
I got Matt Light calling in.
He just tried calling. Matt Light's calling Matt Light. About the flashlight.
Calling about light.
But this is the type of guy we need. We need Matt Light.
Well, he's the redneck that's out in the woods.
He's out shining deer.
Stuff. Right.
Is it illegal to shine deer, by the way? I think it is.
Well, wait a minute. If you could blind the deer with the light and then have the telescope.
That's why it's illegal.
You could tape the flashlight to your gun.
You're not allowed to do that.
Oh, bull crap.
You can't go out.
You don't know that
out
in the woods.
Deer. You can't do that.
How else are you going to see them?
You don't hunt deer at night. That's how you see them. That's it. It freezes them.
Oh, yeah. He says, listen to you guys talk about lighting. It's real captivating. Really, redneck? Why don't you come in and try it for 4 hours?
You know what?
Now he's pissing me off. You don't think he has him in a shooting thing out there when they go riding out in the woods?
You know what? Next time he's crawling around your backyard playing Robin Hood with his bow and arrow, you shine one of those million lumens on him and see if he likes it. See if he likes the flashlight talk then. Tom and Easton, that's over kind of in my neck of the woods. What do you use, Tom?
What's up, boys? Hey, it's not illegal to shine a light at deer. It's illegal to shine a light at him and then shoot him.
Okay, well, that's it kind of goes without saying. I understand.
But, head on
what
over
if you
to
shot it quick and then take it off? Then you can shoot him?
Head on over to Bass Pro. Get yourself a million candle power spotlight. I can light up my neighbor's bedroom window 3/4 of a mile
That's
down
what
the
my
road.
Neighbor has. Yeah.
Do you have to plug it in?
Yeah, but you can unplug it to use it.
Can you charge it? Is the question.
Well, he was answering before you started talking. Does it have to be plugged in for the light to work?
No, you can unplug it to use the light, but you have to plug it back in to charge it. They're the best. Bass Pro, you'll be happy.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Right here. I appreciate it.
I head right over there.
Now you're going to be shining through your neighbor's windows upstairs. You hear them all falling and break the glass.
You want to hear a flash? Oh, we got a break?
Yeah,
oh,
we're 7 deep on it.
Yeah, we'll do more.
More calls next.
Yeah, well, Jim, one more segment of flashlight talk. Okay, one more segment of flashlight talk, and then we're going to hear from Bill Belichick. His press conference is taking place at 12:45, so that's coming up here in Zolak and Bertrand.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, it does. What are you doing? I told you not to buy it. Yeah, take us off. Take us off.
It's my mother's name.
Get that thing out of here.
It's a wedding gift.
What do you want to get pinched?
617-779-0985. We only have one open line on the flashlight talk, as there has been something really bothering the dog out in the backyard here for the last couple of nights. And my old standby for 20-plus years now has been the, I don't know if it's a 3 or a 4 cell mag light.
Doesn't matter.
It's great. You know, it's a great light, but I know that I'm leaving illumination on the table by not switching it up. People have said there's a retrofit for the Maglite, and you go LED, but there's other ways to do this. Yeah. We've heard Olight. We've heard the Stinger. We have more suggestions coming in. Can we just talk to... There was a guy on the line who says that he was a flashlight expert. T-Bone, did the flashlight expert guy...
it's like a pen expert at the mall.
Not wait through the break? That's unfortunate.
Is it like the tick expert?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nick is a Maglite guy. Let's let Nick have his say. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Nick.
So I had my my father was originally in law enforcement. I had his old light. I ended up upgrading. There's a new LED one. I think it's called the third gen. And this thing, it has some cool features to it, but you can actually adjust the beam on it, which is what I like the most about it.
I can adjust the beam on my current Maglite.
But this thing also lasts for 16 hours, which is the best feature of it. 16 hours on high. I haven't switched the battery in this thing in 3 years.
That's impressive. Okay. Thank you, Nick. Dave in North Andover says he just knows which one to buy. Okay. Give me the definitive answer then, Dave. Which one is it?
It's the Husky 3D 1000 lumen. It will last 13 hours on high.
Is it thick?
It's thick. It's like a club. This thing is 12 inches long, and it's like a club. It's solid as anything.
Okay. That's what she said. The Husky 3D 1000 lumen.
Like the Jackhammer 4000. What was the name of that thing when Ashton Kutcher was in that... That romance comedy they got married over in
it's the Husky
Europe.
3D 1000 lumen.
Remember, that was the name of the movie.
She plugged the Jackhammer 6000 she brought over. He did. That sucker blew every circuit in that building.
And thank you to everybody who's been tweeting me photos and links to fleshlights. I appreciate that. That's very nice. Thank you for that.
Great. I mean, people are responsive. Excellent.
Paul's a boat user.
If you get stuck in the fog, you need this.
An avid boater, so he says he knows what to do. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys, it's Paul from New Hampshire. I'm not just a boater. These guys pretty much summed it up. They sell awesome at these pro shops. You can get a nice flashlight. You plug it in and charge it with an iCard battery. It'll last an hour, hour and a half. Huge light. But I'm thinking more on the line. If you want to know what you got in your backyard, you got to get a trail cam. When something walks by, it'll flash a picture of it, or it'll take a video of it, and you'll know it's in your backyard, and you can check it every day. And me and my wife have two of them in my backyard. We got tons of woods. We got bear. We got deer. We got raccoon. I mean, yeah, you charge that up. You put it out there. You wrap it around a tree.
Paul, you know what? That's a good idea. I mean, in addition to the flashlight, I think a trail cam back there might be fun.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because then that's going to... messes with this your head, because then you're going to get a picture of something. It's going to make it move, and you're going to see this freaking 8-foot winged creature,
like Mothman,
but you're going to see the eyes,
right,
and then you're going to be like, I got something in the woods here that I don't like.
Chupacabra.
And chupacabra.
Yeah.
And then do you ever see him crawl under that bridge, that live footage you have? A news camera?
Oh yeah, that's absolutely
him hanging just crawling under. Oh yeah,
that's legit.
Oh, you refute it?
I do refute it.
Okay. Then you'll never sleep. You just want a flashlight just to shine out there and scare them. Rainy, you don't want to know what's out there.
Rainy. Is it Rainy? I'm sorry, in Lawrence.
It's Rainy.
Rainy. What? Okay, what's going on?
You're
a firefighter?
I am. I'm a fire lieutenant in Lawrence, and we are all issued... Survivor LEDs by Streamlight.
Streamlight.
That's a big one.
Streamlight Survivor LED, and it's a right angle flashlight, so it clips to your coat, and it shines straight. It'll shine a beam over half a mile.
You enjoy this topic right now?
Actually, I just stepped into it. I wasn't sure what you guys were talking about.
You listen to us all the time? You listen to us all the time?
He does, and he enjoys the topic. And thank you for
Rainey,
your service there as a firefighter.
Sure. Lawrence.
Is this encounter to Matt Light, who said he didn't enjoy the topic? Is this what you're trying to do?
Getting a lot of texts from people complaining, like, and like this.
Who other than Matt Light?
You're going to talk sports today?
Who?
Well, you're listening. But how bad are the other shows that you're tuning into for Flashlight?
See, this is your problem. You focus in on the two or three negative things as opposed to the thousand phone calls and tweets and Instagram.
I might want to finish the show with Flashlight Talk.
We're only doing...
We're doing Belichick today. Belichick's presser will be brought to you live here.
We're doing one more. This is the last Flashlight call. Chris and Lincoln, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a scuba diver instructor, and what you need is an underwater kinetic light cannon. It's waterproof. You can drop it.
What the hell am I in water, though?
Huh?
Why the hell does he need that off his deck?
Because it'll shine forever, and then when he drops it in a puddle, it's not going to break.
What am I, some kind of a half-wit that can't hold on to a flashlight, Chris?
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, this is... Chief Brody and Mr. Hooper there from the National Geographic...
That's Ben Gardner's boat.
Gardner's, yeah. What did he have? That sucker. That light was bright. And no, then
that's incandescent.
He took another underwater light with him when he went down.
More than 40
when he saw
years.
His eye pop out.
Oh, stop it. That's more than 40 years ago.
Same concept, bro.
It's not the same concept. We were going to LED now. You're part of the problem here.
I'm not a big LED guy.
We were working toward a solution.
Not a big LED guy.
Olight, Stingers, Streamlights. Husky 3D, 1,000 lumen,
yeah.
Baton Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. We got a lot to look at here. Okay, I appreciate all your help.
Thanks, peeps.
I've got lots and lots of tweets here and Instagram things here. So
I might get a free light out of this. This is great.
I can't believe. Of course, I bring up the topic, and you're going to end up,
my boys,
with a new stream light.
Awesome,
unbelievable. Coach Bill Belichick coming up at 12:45. We'll take some more of your calls. We'll get back to the Patriots-Bills talk coming up momentarily here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Yeah. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy in for Beetle. We're live at Gillette Stadium today where we have a bit of news here on Antonio Brown. Looking at a multi-game suspension. Zoe, several sources around the league believe the NFL will suspend Antonio Brown for at least 6 games. Others believe the punishment could span an entire season. Suspend him from what exactly?
Exactly. And yeah, what did he do?
How do you...
What has he been found guilty of?
Right. How do you suspend a player who isn't a player?
Oh, for crapping all over the league.
No. I mean, how do you suspend somebody who's not on a team? I mean, I guess you let him know.
So the Patriots pick him up? Week 7 next year?
You know, we joke about Antonio Brown, but quite seriously, for just 5 seconds here, this guy is dealing with some mental issues. I know, I love
the guy as a player. He's gone. He's officially gone.
I don't think this is just eccentricities.
This is he's unstable. I'd get people around him, get him help. You can't have him committed. He's putting a woman's address out on his baby mama. And he's, by the way, done with white women for 2020, so everybody knows.
I have a theory on why this came out today, by the way, this story.
Go ahead.
Because Josh Gordon was suspended. And the one team that's been sniffing around Antonio Brown more than any other is the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's get the message out there that this guy's going to be suspended.
That's a good point.
Just after Josh Gordon gets suspended.
That's so interesting.
That team doesn't go after and dip into that.
Say they, for whatever reason, they became dependent upon Gordon. You know, and that was a big fear, like last year. What are you going to do if Josh flies the coop like he did last year? Well, you went on a Super Bowl run here. Can Seattle do that? Are they capable of that? Or do they really need that type of receiver? Is Lockett hurt? You know, all those guys. What type of injuries do they have? They may need another body. And watch them go out and try and get snag AB. Wow. That's a good point, Jim.
Russell Wilson's very much pro Antonio Brown based on all the
stuff. All quarterbacks that want to throw the football usually are.
I mean,
there's a common thread there. Thanks, pal. Thanks, buddy.
No, but Jim's right. It's like, Who are the guys who are most in on him? Tom Brady seems in on him.
Guys that like speed and guys that like
Russell
hands.
Wilson seems in on him. Russell Wilson seemed in on him. Wonder if Drew Brees might like to have Antonio Brown. I mean,
God, can you imagine him opposite Michael Thomas?
No, I really choose not to. Rick in Jacksonville, thanks for being patient, Rick. You're on with Zolak and Hardy in from Beetle. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Let me take you off some great. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question for y'all. Given
what did you just say?
I said I wanted to take you off speaker, but also say thanks.
Oh, you want to take off speaker? Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, I got a question with regards to just the some of the struggles on the offense.
Yeah.
Would it help? And Zoe, you have more insight on this because you played in for the Patriots, but. Would it make more sense if they were to go out into like a more of a like a wide receiver set, five wide set, where we can get players into more space, or do they just not have that type of personnel that can execute that type of a scheme?
Yeah, part of that risk, and they love going spread when they have the bodies to do it and the people to block it, is you're blocking five guys. They need bodies in there to help with the line, whether it's a back or tight end. They go empty, that guy's getting hit every time he releases the ball because you're bringing one extra. So you can only block five. They bring six. You know, you play nickel, you're dropping five, you're rushing six, he's getting hit every time he's throwing it.
So, right, I mean, right.
Unless you got big guys that can block it like they have had with Solder, with Trent Brown over the years. You know, that backside, they're struggling right now.
Right, and Brady, who is, of course, you know, lived in and breathed by the quick release, if his one ultimate go-to guy is covered off the line and he doesn't have time to go to a second option anyway, but much less to a guy that he doesn't have a lot of confidence in.
Yeah, and the problem right now, Sanu, Brady, and Edelman aren't right physically.
Right.
And you throw that into the mix with a struggling O-line, that's problematic for an offense. And you're trying to incorporate and get a rookie up and running, you know, become a vital part of it.
But your point, Rick, and thanks for the call, is, you know, I think as much about finding some kind of a rhythm and a little bit of swagger on offense when maybe on paper you don't have any reason to feel confident or feel swagger, but that seems to be what they're missing right now. The defense got swagger on swole. They got all the swagger they need, and for good reason. Hell, you can have all kinds of swagger on that defense right now just from Stephon Gilmore alone, but between the linebackers and the secondary and everything that they're doing up front, they're feeling it. They go out there to begin a series against an opposing offense and feel, I'm sure, more often than not, that we're going to force these guys into a three and out or at least a quick series and get them off the field. I think the offense feels that way right now. Who are you texting? Can this wait?
Oh, yeah.
Good grief. You're composing a text. You weren't even replying to somebody. You were composing a text.
Yeah. I move parts. I shake and I bake here, babe.
One more call, and then we'll step aside, get ready for Bill Belichick's press conference. Joe in Rockland, hello.
Hey, it's Joe Corbett again. I called yesterday.
Hey, Joe Corbett.
I was wondering about, do you guys think that the Patriots knew about Josh Gordon and his issues, and that's why they released him? Because it's kind of surprising how quick he was released from the Seahawks and hearing this news.
I think there were some things trending towards that. Nobody accused him of it. Nobody saw it, but
okay. Yeah. You know what?
He likes hearing his name.
I apologize. Go back to texting.
Thanks. That's what you can. Appreciate it. Yep. Hey, you know what? We got two sets of Bills tickets to give away tomorrow during the show.
We're giving away two pair of tickets tomorrow.
Big game. It's for the division.
This is it, man.
Merry freaking Christmas, huh?
All right. So be listening tomorrow at what times, Jim? When are we going to give them away?
11:30 and 1:30.
All right. 11:30, 1:30 tomorrow.
Boy, happy birthday, of course. What song did you sing? I watched that again last night.
All right. So that'll be tomorrow. And Beetle will be back tomorrow. And we'll be in Dorchester. But right now we're in Foxborough, where Bill Belichick will meet the media. Coming up in a few more minutes, you'll hear it live on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas.
We're waiting on Bill Belichick, and when he arrives at the podium, you'll hear it live, and it's powered by TouchView Interactive, offered exclusively by the Oakers Company. Bill Belichick meeting the media here in Foxborough as he gets ready for these Bills. These Bills is what he said after that game against the Bengals on Sunday. So these Bills are not the Bills that you've had to face for much of the Brady Belichick era.
No.
These Bills are a little bit better.
You don't want to say you could feel like it's starting to shift, but they're built the right way. We've seen a lot of coaches get in and out of there. Guys like Doug Marrone, for instance. Who else, Jim? Who else coached the Bills? It wasn't Chan Gailey.
Rex Ryan.
That's right.
Rex, of course.
God, Rex couldn't get it going there.
Nope.
You know, he'd muddy it up a game or two, but they've consistently played well this year, especially defensively. Offense been up and down for them. But this is one where I think, you know, defensively you should be looking your chops a little bit to get after this quarterback. Week four, you embarrassed him. I was sitting there chuckling during the game. Let's go to coach.
All right, let's hear the coach right now, live here from Foxborough.
All right, we're back in the division here. And Buffalo's certainly had a good year. They got a good football team. Do a lot of things well. It's reflected by their record and the way they played. And impressive win against Pittsburgh, certainly against Dallas on a short week down there in Thanksgiving. It came down to the last play against the Ravens. So they have a good, pretty good offense, good defense, good in the kicking game. A lot to get ready for. Some carryover from the first game, but that was a long time ago, and there's quite a few differences between now and then. Some players we hadn't seen or didn't see then that we'll probably see now. Singletary, Orff, Knox, Croft, so forth. So that'll be a big challenge for us here, and hopefully I have a good week and be ready to go.
Raise your hand if you have questions, or call on them. Mike Reese.
Today you're in the field house, which is unusual. Is that more? How does the field house help you accomplish what you want to get accomplished today versus outside?
We're in a little different schedule this week because of the normally I wouldn't practice on Tuesday, so 2 days after the game, but I feel like that was the best thing to do this week, so that's what we're doing.
Where it's so unusual that you're in there, like, does that facility serve its purpose for you? Like, could you envision yourself without it, I guess? I mean, I know not every team has it, or that sort of piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, for what we're doing today, it's what we plan on doing anyway.
You've had a number of big special teams plays this year, a lot. On blocks, et cetera. Does it kind of feed on itself, and guys get even more fired up about being a part of that when that kind of stuff happens?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of confidence in that unit. We missed a few. Man, missed probably three or four. Missed one last week. So we'll just keep working on it. There's always, it's a tough play offensively or for the punt team, however you want to look at it, to execute and protect and get it off cleanly and still have a really good punt. So there's something to be said for putting pressure on the specialists there, but also return them too. So there's definitely a place for both. We'll keep working on all of it. It's all part of, all tied in together.
Thank you, Eric. What sort of strides have you seen Josh Allen take from when you saw him back in late September, early October to now?
Yeah, he's good then. He's good now.
Making, has that improved?
Oh,
I know that's something that they've
been
harping on
there.
Yeah,
he's made a good decision. They've won.
Jay Glover? You good? Aaron
Kemp? Well, you talked yesterday about how you've been able to rotate your cornerbacks this year. And is there, with sort of that diversity of skill sets that you have at that position, is there any similarity to kind of like what you guys have done at running back where you get to use those guys situationally to really highlight, their different skill sets?
Yeah, we haven't used them too much situationally. It's just been more of, we have good players and letting them all play. It's kind of like that outside linebacker, running back. So there's positions where we have good depth, and it's sometimes it's a certain situation of one player over another, but I think in a lot of these cases they can play in all situations, so we just rotate them a little bit and put them in there.
Cool. So what is Devin Singletary, given their offense, from what you've seen? He didn't play against you guys back in week four.
He's got good quickness. He's in there on all downs. He's got some speed to the outside, good quickness to make guys miss. He's involved in the passing game. He's got 20-some catches, whatever it is. So he's a three-down player.
Bill.
When they've been going no huddle, which they've done it in some games, then certainly it benefits you to have the same back on the field and not have to sub backs, situationally. So he's given them that. I don't know if that's the reason or not, but that's just the way it's worked out. Sorry.
Okay. I'm curious, when understanding every defensive back is different, is there much room to develop ball skills specifically as a skill once a player enters your program, or is that something that might be a little bit more innate than you can actually develop?
I think you can definitely improve it, yeah. And we always work on that. I mean, look, it's a hard position for defensive back to be in. They don't get many chances at the ball. They're never the intended receiver. So a lot of the catches they have to make are balls that are really not thrown to them. They have to go and get, make a tough catch on and all that. That's part of being a defensive player. You're not the receiver. You're the defender. So, you have to work on that. Certainly, I think you can work on it and improve it. Some guys have more natural instincts, ball skills than others. Like trying to make a slow player fast. You're never going to make a slow player the fastest guy on the team, but you can improve his speed. So some guys, have good ball skills and they can become elite. Some guys have not good ball skills and hopefully they can become better.
As you're working on that, is it more just trying to get guys more opportunity in phase to give them more chances to be in that position, or can you be in that position and kind of work and adjust your kind of technique or approach once you're in the position to make a play?
Yeah, well, I think all of the above. Some of it's putting yourself in position to make a play, and then there's the element of actually finishing the play, making a catch, looking the ball into your hands, and so forth. But depending on what the coverage is and what your relationship is with the receiver, and how fast the two players are moving, or if the speed, if there's a change in speed, then that indicates something as well. And so, based on all those things, the defender reacts a little bit differently, or should react a little bit differently. And so you just kind of keep repping those things over and over again until they become instinctive and reactive. You don't really think about it, and something happens, and you do it and do the right thing, and hopefully that puts you in position to play the ball.
Okay. Now the cost seems to be increasing to workload with Luke Reed at this point. Beyond health, what's allowing him to take on a bigger role?
It worked out that way. We've had, the last few weeks, we've had Ben and Matt kind of splitting the role a little bit. Ben's been involved with more passing situations and Matt in the running situations, but they can do both, and they have done both, and that could change a little bit from week to week by game plan, so we'll see how it goes. But it's more early down situations than our third down situations, so that if you do it that way, the playing time is almost always going to, break that way.
What's allowing Tre'Davious White to generate so many takeaways this season?
Yeah, well, he's had them in the past. He's a good player. He's quick. He's fast. He's got good instincts, good ball skills. So, he's around the ball, and he's got good hands to finish and make the play. Good awareness.
I'm just curious. We've seen Tom obviously on and off the injury report. I'm wondering how the other quarterbacks that are on the roster have handled practice. If Tom has had to miss any time, how has Jarrett worked in his first year, and Cody, I'm sure, is part of that equation too.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are always ready to go, and it's an opportunity for them. You know, it's hard to practice three quarterbacks, but and there have been a couple examples where Tom hasn't been able to do a lot this year, so that's given Stid an opportunity to go with the first group and, you know, run our plays and run our offense, and that's been good for him. It's given Cody an opportunity to run more of the scout team plays because Jarrett's not taking those, so it's, you know, and again, quarterbacks are always looking for more work, so that's, they've taken advantage of it, and I think it's helped. I mean, you don't always want to do it that way. Sometimes it's best to do things that way, and that's good for everybody. So, but, you know, we want everybody out there as healthy as they can be, so that's ultimately the goal, but it's not always that way, and certainly a lot, that's a better scenario than having just two quarterbacks, so that then one guy has to take everything. Not that he can't take it, it's the National Football League, but you know, mentally going from a defensive period to an offensive period to a defensive period to an offensive period, not really the best, you know, it's not as conducive to high level of execution in either one. So, but sometimes that's what it is, and so you have to adjust.
Can you get a good sense of where Jarrett's at by how the team responds to him in those practice situations?
We can evaluate everything he does. That's what we do. Yeah, we evaluate it. Exactly.
And just to build off the topic, sometimes on the road games, and even we've seen Nick working with Cody like before the game. I don't even know if you're familiar with that, but what has Nick done to help Cody in terms of that extra work that we usually see out on the game field?
Right, well, you know, mix. I mean, when you have two quarterbacks at two different levels from where Tom and Jarrett or Tom and Cody are relative to overall experience or certainly experience within our system, neither Cody or Jarrett have very much. So there's a lot of things that you need to go over with them that honestly you've probably been over with Tom 400 times. So try to be a little more efficient with it to work with those guys. And Jarrett's been here a little longer than Cody has, but at the same time, you know, he can, you know, use the review or the maybe it's another some finer points that didn't get covered the first two or three times. Maybe something comes up the next time based on an experience or a situation or something that's happened on that play or in that scenario that wasn't talked about earlier that brings up a question or another coaching point. So we just, you know, try to work with all players, young players. It's like that at every position. Honestly, there's guys at every position that have a lot of experience, and there's guys at that position that don't have very much. And, you know, you don't want to talk down to the guys that have a lot of experience, and you don't want to talk above the guys that really don't know what you're talking about. So there's times you have to try to, as a teacher, bridge that.
Oh, we're up. Okay.
Hi.
It's so hard to tell when Belichick is done talking and then it's time for us to talk.
Sound like you're from Minnesota.
It's hypnotic.
Right.
So there's the coach.
Kind of just ended abruptly there. Like, it didn't seem like the sentence was done.
No.
Charge me up.
So there he goes. Bill Belichick is all done here in Foxborough, and that's his press conference. We will... Is there anything to dissect? Did Coach say anything that you didn't expect him to say there, Zoe?
Tom's had a couple ding-dongs. A
couple of things about Tom Brady, which I thought were interesting. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned it right before we went to the coach, talking about the injuries that, you know, you can see it on Edelman's face. You can see it with the way Sanu is running. But, you know, we've heard about an elbow with Tom Brady, and he's been on the injury report a couple of times. But the coach just said he hasn't been able to participate fully in practice a number of times this season, and he's been dealing with some injuries. So all of this factors in. When you look at the low yards per play for the offense, and when you look at his completion numbers, and you look at some of the struggles on the offense, they're all interconnected. The Brady, the Edelman, the Sanu injuries, everything. And then you factor in some O-line stuff and personnel issues that it becomes kind of obvious.
They just showed Brady off play action, throwing a ball to Lacoste up the left side, left seam from Sunday, and it was on NFL Network.
Sexy.
His feet were good. The elbow was a little lower, but they zoomed the grip. His finger was more towards the point than usual, I think. And maybe that's because of the elbow where, okay, that's more of that sideways dart type throw, you know? Little thing. Little things I pick up on.
All right. We're step aside here. McCone's got the headlines. And
look
then,
at the ears on this kid. Jesus.
We'll talk a little bit more about the Pats' health this year as opposed to last year. And we have stories from around the league to get to.
Oh, I love story time.
With not stories, but you know, breaking news.
Oh.
There's something about the NFL Players Association and the Jacksonville Jaguars that I think is fascinating.
I think it's great.
Plus, Terrell Suggs. We'll get to all that in our fourth and final hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.